The Honorable Chief Justice and Justices of the Supreme Court of Ohio. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in open session pursuant to adjournment.
Good morning. You may be seated. Justice Pfeiffer is obviously not here, but he has read the briefs, he'll listen to oral arguments on tape, and he will be participating in the decisions in these cases. The first case is 03-1003, Columbiana County Budget Commission, East Liverpool versus East Liverpool, Mr. Bernice.
Chief Justice, may I reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal?
You may. Watch your time there on the clock.
Thank you. May it please the court. The main contention of appellant in this appeal, and when I say the main contention, I mean the primary contention that we believe caused everything else to fall in this process conducted by the Columbiana County Budget Commission, was the fact that the Columbiana County Budget Commission abused its discretion in the adoption of this new alternate formula for distributing the funds for 2003 in Columbiana County. Now, the appellees have argued that so long as a budget commission follows the mechanical statutory requirements in the adoption and the approval of an alternate formula, there can never be an abuse of discretion by a budget commission. Well, this assertion misses the mark concerning the discretionary duties of budget commissions in the formulation of alternate formulas under the revised code sections here today. No one's going to argue that these revised code sections, specifically 57, 47, 53, and 63, authorize and grant budget commissions discretion to incorporate into alternate formulas any factor that they deem appropriate and reliable in the sole discretion of the Budget Commission. Clearly, the General Assembly granted discretion to budget commissions to plug in these factors that they use to develop the alternate formulas. And when an administrative agency exercises discretion, it is certainly capable of being abused. We submit that it was in the formulation of this alternate formula, and specifically its impact on the allocation of the City of East Liverpool for 2003, wherein the Columbiana County Budget Commission committed an abuse of discretion. Now, let me tell you what this case is not. This case is not a situation where the City of East Liverpool is complaining about its reduction from 2002 to 2003 in its local government fund allocations under an alternate formula where all or even some of the other subdivisions also received reductions. That's not this case. That's not what happened here. This case is about a situation where the City of East Liverpool was singled out as the only subdivision in Columbiana County to receive a reduction in allocations from 2002 to 2003 under this new alternate formula. And not only were they singled out and reduced, but this reduction.
Isn't it pretty likely under the new formula that you were going to be reduced, because under the old formula, and the reason for the amendment was that you were getting a much larger disproportionate share of the funds pursuant to your population? And so if you're going to reallocate, it makes absolute sense that the one that gets more than their share is going to get a little bit less than the others, and they're going to get a little more to even out the pot. I mean, that seems to be what was the impetus behind the statutory change, was you had a disproportionate share of the funds pursuant or in relation to your population. So why wouldn't we expect you to be reduced?
Justice Stratton, we expected to be reduced. And if we had been reasonably reduced, we probably wouldn't be here today arguing this abuse of discretion.
But aren't you, even if we were to uphold the formula, still getting more than anybody else under the current allocation?
That's true.
So where is the foul play?
Let me explain. This single year reduction from 02 to 03 accounted for a general fund revenue reduction in a single year from 02 to 03 to the City of East Liverpool's general fund in an amount equal to 17% of its general fund revenues.
Well, that's tough, but when you average it out over the last 5 years, how much more did you get than everybody else? Is probably not that different. I mean, we supported you and made them all pay you back when we found that the funds were wrongly divided before. It's like you are willing to take, but you're not willing to give.
Justice Stratton, we are willing to give. But what we would have expected in a reasonable apportionment under this new alternate formula is a ramp down, a soft landing for the City of East Liverpool so as to avoid the financial calamity visited upon its general fund in 2003.
But when you wanted the monies repaid, when we came down with our prior decision, you wouldn't let anybody else ramp down. You wouldn't let them do a gradual payback because it so impacted their budget. You wanted all the money at once. So it's like you're not being very consistent in your arguments. You want to ramp down, but you wouldn't let anybody else ramp down in a five-year payout under the old formula when we found that you were in the right.
To digress, Justice Stratton, the issue before the court at that time was an immediate payback. However, for the 2 years preceding that case, we bent ourselves into pretzels to accommodate a more expedited payback that took into account the financial conditions of the subdivisions, and nobody was willing to talk with us about that, and we were forced to bring the issue to the court. Now, a reasonable apportionment of the funds for 2003 should have included some protection for the City of East Liverpool in a ramp down.
Counsel, you're making your argument of the abuse of discretion because of the dollar amounts involved here. I'm going to ask you to focus on the process that by which this was accomplished, which I think is maybe more relevant and might make your discussion of the dollar amount irrelevant at this point. What do you say about the opportunity or lack of opportunity to present East Liverpool's position, the notice issue, and just the participation in the process that is statutorily outlined here with the Budget Commission and East Liverpool's role or lack thereof?
Well, it's certainly correct that under these new provisions enacted by House Bill 329, East Liverpool has absolutely no role in the approval and the adoption of an alternate formula. First, House Bill 329 allows the subdivisions to exclude its approval otherwise required to approve these alternate formulas. And then down below, when the subdivisions come to meet to approve a new alternate formula, House Bill 329 also specifically removes East Liverpool from the majority vote of subdivisions required to approve this new alternate formula. In fact, the drafters of this legislation were so crafty so as to define participating political subdivisions in such a manner as to remove East Liverpool from the vote of political subdivisions who decided to exclude the approval otherwise required. So we couldn't even exclude our own vote. We had no vote anywhere. Now, the statutes are clear that before the Budget Commission makes the determination to apportion these funds, they have to provide the subdivisions an opportunity to be heard and present evidence of financial need. I think the language of the statutes are clear. In this case, what we would have done had we been there and presented the evidence, we would have confirmed what our budgetary documents on file with the Budget Commission already told them. In fact, we would have put a face on these cuts to the Budget Commission. We would have been able to show them that we're going to lay off police, lay off fire, don't fill any potholes. We were going to lay off street service personnel. We were going to lose 17% of our general fund budget. Moreover, we would have also showed them that other general revenue fund losses in that same year, outside of the 17% cut, were an additional 9%. So our total general revenue fund losses from all sources, including the 17% from the local government funds, amounted to a 26% reduction for 2003.
Mr. Brundage, let me stop you. If, I think this is the follow-up to Justice O'Connor's question, if we decide that under 51B, you had a right, that is, the city had a right to be heard under oath before the Budget Commission made its decision, as the statute says, you were not, I understand, in this case. What do we do about that?
Very good question, Chief Justice. And you know, I've gone through this language again and again and again over a number of years, and there is no court decision directly on point or even coming close to the issue you've just raised. What happens? What is the remedy when a Budget Commission fails to afford the notice and the hearing provided in this statute? Well, I would limit my response to your question to the specific facts of this case and the specific alternate that we're talking about. This alternate that we're talking about allocates the funds for 03 on a straight population percentage basis. In other words, once you adopt this alternate formula, the Budget Commission does not make any determination of the apportionment. The determination has already been made by virtue of the adoption of the alternate. There is no discretion in applying this alternate to the subdivisions for 03 because their hands are tied. It's a straight percentage allocation. There is no determination. So when they adopted this alternate formula, they in effect apportioned the funds all in the same action. And by virtue of that fact, if they didn't give us the hearing, they couldn't adopt this alternate formula. That being the case, if they had not given us the hearing, they couldn't adopt it. It never became effective. That is our position, Mr. Chief Justice Moyer.
And then what? The money's been allocated, right? The money's been allocated to the various taxing districts. And what happens?
Well then, pursuant to our administrative appeal to the Board of Tax Appeals, the Board of Tax Appeals would review de novo the action of the Budget Commission, found that they were without authority to adopt that alternate formula, invalidated that action, and what we would hope is at least an order having the BTA allocate the funds pursuant to the 1990 alternate or such other relief as the court deems appropriate.
Would it be appropriate to send it back and allow you to have your hearing and then let them re-decide? I mean, if you go back to the old one, we're back to your 27%, which is, again, the reason the statute was passed, because of the inequities. So if you go back to the old formula, you're right back to the 27%, and are you going to ask them all to pay you back right away like you did before? Or, I mean, it seems to me maybe going back and having another hearing and giving you an opportunity to be heard, if that's the way we decide, might be the fairer result.
Justice Stratton, at first blush, that might seem to be the remedy here. But I'll say that in Girard v. Trumbull County Budget Commission, if the Budget Commission does not complete its work by the statutory deadline, then no alternate is effective. And a Budget Commission must be prepared to allocate the funds pursuant to a previously adopted alternate formula or the statutory method. Clearly in this case, by virtue of denying, not completing its work, and part of the work was this hearing that they should have held. They didn't complete that work by the statutory deadline, hence the new alternate never came into effect. And if we were to remand to the BTA under the Girard decision, the BTA would have to, or this court would have to order the BTA to allocate pursuant to the 1990 alternate because it has previously been found to be properly adopted and approved.
What's your best argument for their position that the opportunity heard only applies when there's a determination and a division by the board, and then, but the section says unless you have the alternate, which is a strict formula, there's no determination needs, you just did it by population. They said there's no need for a hearing. What's your best argument to refute that? Because the statute does seem to draw two different alternatives.
Well, I've got two responses to that question. The first response is the question that I feel is the one that works with the statutory scheme. The second response would be one that would be given by somebody who has thought about the statute for quite a long time. My first response is, let's read the language of the statute. The statute says, before they determine the apportionment, the Budget Commission shall extend to each subdivision an opportunity to be heard under oath, administered by any member of the Commission, to explain its financial needs. okay? This determination shall be made as shown in the tax budgets, okay? And it shall be made pursuant to section C2I, the statutory formula, unless the Budget Commission has provided for an alternate. In other words, the determination is made pursuant to the statutory allocation methods or an alternate formula. In any event, they get the hearing. The language of the statute is clear. I would submit that this is the opportunity for budget commissions and a budget commission to inform itself of the general operating expense needs of subdivisions prior to adopting new alternate formulas. This is a great opportunity for everybody to get together and say, hey, the old formula isn't working. Let's look at this new one, and these are our needs. The budget commission, get everybody in there, and so they can make sure that things are working. And that was a golden opportunity in 2002 for the budget commission to do in this case, which was not done, and that's unfortunate. The second issue that I would raise after thinking about the statutes is that perhaps alternate formulas must be tax budget based, and perhaps this alternate formula must have factors coming from tax budgets. So whether you have an alternate formula or a statutory allocation, the factors used are tax budget based, in which case this alternate that we're talking about now are not tax budget based. And in fact, I would argue that a majority of the alternates used across the state of Ohio are not tax budget based.
Your red light is on, Mr. Bernice. You used your time.
Thank you.
Mr. Funk.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is Stephen Funk, Retzlin Andrus. I'm here on behalf of the Columbiana County Budget Commission, and by agreement of council, I'm gonna be the sole speaker on behalf of the appellees here today. As you know, this case arises from an alternative formula, and this court has long upheld the use of alternative formulas in the allocation of local government funds. In fact, I think the case that we cited in our briefs comes from 1976, Chester Township versus Geauga County, where the court said it is not an abuse of discretion to follow an alternative method in allocating funds, local government funds.
Mr. Funk, let me take you right to the issue that I think is the most important issue, and that is the one we've been discussing. B1 seems to say that before the Budget Commission makes its determination whether it's for the alternative formula or not, that it has to give notice, give opportunity to the other political subdivisions to be heard under oath. That wasn't done here. What's your best argument?
Well, I have two responses to that, Your Honor. First is that statute, 5747.51, and then the complement 5747.62, it's defined at the very top of the statute as being the statutory method of apportionment. And it sets forth the procedures if you're going to follow the statutory method. In the specific section that you cited, it says that you have to follow these procedures unless you're adopting alternative method of apportionment. The procedures for how to adopt an alternative method of apportionment are set forth in a different section of the code, 5747.53 and 63. And that sets forth the procedures for adopting alternative method. Those procedures were strictly followed in this case. I don't think there's any argument that the procedures of 5747.53 were not followed. The second answer to your question.
Let me stop you there.
Yeah.
The words, as you know, of the last sentence in B said, this determination shall be made pursuant to Division CH of this section, so forth, unless the commission is provided. The determination seems to refer back, does it not, to the determination that's made generally on how the fund's going to be divided? I don't understand why the language of the first part of the paragraph doesn't also apply to the determination that they're going to use the alternative formula.
Again, Your Honor, I believe it's setting forth the procedures for adopting a statutory method. So obviously, if you're adopting a statutory method, you have to have hearings, need-based hearings, with respect to the presentation of need-based evidence, so that the court can make the commission can make the determinations that are set forth under the formula of C through I. The second thing, Your Honor, is I don't think that there's any evidence here that they in fact did not receive notice of this meeting. They passed a resolution, in fact, prior to the Columbiana County Budget Commission's meeting, disapproving of the alternative method of apportionment. That was presented in writing to the Columbiana County Budget Commission at their meeting. And as I understand it, they just chose not to appear for that meeting. It was a public meeting. The media was there. And they certainly, if they wanted to, could have been there to raise their objections, to present evidence. If you look at the transcript of that hearing, there's no time in which the Columbiana County Budget Commission excludes East Liverpool from appearing or excludes East Liverpool from presenting evidence. They chose not to come here, and I think it's a fundamental principle of law that if you don't raise your objections in the administrative proceeding, that you cannot, that you waive those objections and you cannot raise them again in the Board of Tax Appeals.
Well, or Council, was that the notice to the participants that that was the forum in which to appear and present your objections or your evidence under oath?
I think it was a general notice of the meeting. So if they believe that there should have been a hearing on certificate of need where they could present need-based hearing, they were should have attended that meeting and made that objection.
And was that type of business conducted at that meeting? Were there was there testimony taken under oath?
At that meeting, there was no municipality or township presented any evidence. If you look at the transcript, what they did was they followed the statutory form, the alternative method procedures, verified that the appropriate bodies had approved the formula. They then went on and said that they found the formula to be fair and equitable. And indeed,
And during that whole process in the transcript, is there any evidence where they call for the presentation of evidence under oath for any objections or additional input?
I don't think there was anybody there that was seeking to present evidence.
Well, let me ask you, the question that I asked you. Did the commission announce that at the hearing, it is now the appropriate time to come forth, and do they seek that information from the participants there?
The answer is no.
Okay.
I don't believe that there was anybody there to requesting that opportunity.
Mr. Funk, I'm confused about your presentation. You seem to argue that the proceedings for the alternative method come under point 53 and 63 in response to the Chief Justice's question.
Correct.
Therefore, you say that there is no need for a hearing.
A need-based hearing where they present evidence of need. That's correct. There's a meeting in which—
And then you argue, if I understand you correctly, that East Liverpool itself had notice of it because they presented a resolution that and they've voluntarily chosen not to appear at the hearing.
Correct.
So which is it? Is it your view that there was a hearing that they chose not to participate in, or that there wasn't any need to have a hearing? I'm confused by your argument.
There is a hearing that the County Commission holds. Under the alternative formula, what they do at that hearing is verify that the resolutions requisite for approval of an alternative method have been approved by the requisite municipalities.
All right, and that's under the alternative formula?
That's correct.
Under which code sections?
5747.53 and 5747.63.
So there's a requirement for a hearing. Now, is that the hearing that the notice was not sent to East Liverpool on?
That, as far as I understand it, that hearing, there was notice of that hearing given to all affected municipalities. In fact, all of them passed resolutions either approving or disapproving the alternative method of apportionment.
Including East Liverpool?
Correct.
And East Liverpool chose then not to be present at the hearing that you're describing under 53 and 63 because it's your position that 51 and 62B don't have anything to do with this proceeding because that's the statutory method and that's what was eliminated.
Right. I think what they're trying to do is build into a requirement that there be a need-based hearing when you're adopting an alternative
In other
method.
Words, your view is that East Liverpool is arguing there needs to be a needs-based hearing under the alternative formula as well as under the statutory formula, and your argument is when you use the alternative method, that isn't true.
That's right. Now, he is correct that the statute does say that the county commission, in its sole discretion, can consider other factors. So, for example, if East Liverpool came to the hearing and attempted to present evidence, the county commission could at that time, in its sole discretion, decide whether or not they want to receive that evidence. There's no statutory requirement, however, that they must receive that evidence or hold a need-based hearing. That statutory requirement applies when you're adopting the statutory method.
So, counsel, getting back to the question that I asked you, they never requested information from participants because they didn't think it was necessary. When I say they, the commission. So I got the impression that your original intent was to compare or state that East Liverpool, in essence, waived its right to present information under oath at this hearing because they chose not to participate. And now you're saying that there was absolutely no requirement on the Board of Commissioners to have a hearing. Now, which is it? Did they waive it?
I'm saying both, Your Honor. I'm saying that there's no statutory requirement that they receive any evidence. To the extent they want to argue now that there is a statutory requirement, they waive that argument because they failed to appear at the hearing to raise that objection.
You're arguing in the alternative.
In the alternative.
If we don't accept A, you want us to accept B.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think it's both. There is a statutory requirement to receive the hearing, and they waived any opportunity to present that evidence by failing to appear at the hearing.
If we agree that that a hearing does apply to both methods, what would you argue the remedy should be?
Okay, in this situation, Your Honor, I would argue that there's absolutely no need for a hearing, that there is no prejudice resulting.
Well, I understand that. But if we rule against you on that point, what would you argue to us should be the remedy? I think we should go back to the old formula where they get the 27%.
I think, Your Honor, that is harmless error. In other words, if assuming what you're saying is true, that there would be no sending a case back for another hearing so that they can raise their objections and be overruled, and the alternative method that was previously approved in accordance with law is readopted, I think it would be a pointless exercise.
So you argue that they should go back and, if we find that there is a right to a hearing, and I'm not saying that I'm going either way at this point, but if we find there is a right to a hearing, you're arguing that it does not go back to the 1990 format, it just goes back for another hearing?
That's correct.
Whether that's a main act or not is beside the point, but that's the procedure.
That's correct. I mean, there's absolutely no legal problem with readopting the alternative method.
What about the statutory deadline, the time by which the commission has to have its work done for the previous or for the subsequent distribution?
Well, that argument, I think, one, they did act in accordance with the statutory deadline. Two, under that argument.
If we find, though, that the statutory procedure was not followed, doesn't that void what they've done? And in essence, they have not complied then with an accurate hearing, or statutorily correct hearing at least, and have therefore missed their deadline?
Well, that would, I would argue that would not be the appropriate remedy, would not be the just remedy. If their objection is that they were denied the opportunity to present evidence that the commission should have considered in whether to adopt an alternative method, the court should focus on remedy that. To throw out the alternative method which was adopted in accordance with law would not be an appropriate or just remedy.
Does the Budget Commission have some discretion as to how the funds are to be allocated under the alternative method?
I would say that under the statute, it does say that in their sole discretion, they can consider other factors. It's not defined what factors they need to consider. In general, what is done, I think, across the state is that where an alternative method is adopted and approved by the requisite entities, it is therefore effective and implemented. And that was really the intent of the alternative method.
Is it a stretch to suggest that the General Assembly would have intended that whether the Budget Commission adopts the statutory or the alternative method, that it's somewhat beneficial to let everyone be heard, let all of the political subdivisions be heard, even the one that's been left out of the agreement? I mean, where is the logic in your view of the statute that only if the Budget Commission decides not to adopt the alternative method that a city like East Liverpool gets to be heard?
Well, again, I think that there is a hearing. The purpose of the hearing is to verify that the appropriate bodies have approved the resolution. Their opportunity to be heard is heard by the fact that they submitted a resolution saying that they don't approve.
It says heard under oath. That's not under oath, is it?
Well, again,
statute says the representative of each subdivision an opportunity to be heard under oath, administered by any member of the commission. Sounds like it's right here, like in presente, you know, that they're allowed to come to the meeting and be sworn in and tell the Budget Commission why, you know, we've been left out of your agreement, but here's why, Budget Commission, you ought to do something different. Here's why we need more funds. Why, that sounds like just a natural process, isn't it?
Well, that brings us full circle to the arguments. I think that, as I've said before, that the requirement of having a need-based hearing is not set forth for the alternative method. The focus is on whether the process has been followed with respect to the approval of the various municipalities. And secondly, that there was a hearing and East Liverpool chose not to attend.
What's the status of the record on that? Can we tell from the record whether there was actually any notice of the hearing given and whether East Liverpool was there or what?
The Board of Tax Appeals did address that issue, and what they noted in their decision was that East Liverpool submitted a resolution. So prior to the hearing, and there was no evidence in the transcript that they actually attended the hearing and were denied the opportunity to be heard.
I saw that in the board's opinion, but it doesn't tell us whether they were at the hearing or not. I guess they're given an opportunity to be heard.
I see that I'm out of time. I want to make one last point. As I understand their arguments, they have not raised any constitutional challenges to House Bill 329, which is the legislation at issue here. As this court knows, in the Cleveland Gear case, it allows for the opportunity to present constitutional challenges, such as due process, equal protection, all the other things that they tried to argue with the Board of Tax Appeals below. And they chose not to raise those arguments. So as I understand it, those arguments have been waived. And the sole focus is on whether there's a statutory requirement as opposed to any constitutional issues.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Berenice, you've used your time, but you may take 30 seconds.
Thank you, Chief Justice.
Before you begin, Mr. Berenice, let me ask you to address the last point counsel made. Was there a constitutional due process argument made at the Board of Tax Appeals or not?
Well, the Board of Tax Appeals has no jurisdiction to hear or determine constitutional issues. In my legal opinion, to hear and determine means to receive evidence, to decide the issue, nothing. We did, in our notice of appeal, include and allege a constitutional issue in the event that we wanted to bring those issues here to the Supreme Court. We did not, because this Supreme Court's decision in State X Rel Sato v. Columbiana County Budget Commission told this appellant, City of East Liverpool, and the private relators in that case, that the proper remedy was a common pleas court action for declaratory judgment and prohibitory injunction. So at that point, we had the choice of bringing the constitutionals here or to a common pleas court. Private litigants have no standing to appear here today in an appeal out of an administrative decision. So we all went to the Common Pleas Court for Columbiana County, and that's where those constitutional issues are and are on appeal to that 7th District Court of Appeals at this moment.
That's why
you don't see them here today.
You've used your time, Mr. Berenice. Thank you.
Thank you.
The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.